The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
One of our two major political parties has completely lost its mind, and that's largely because of Donald Trump. And it is not just the senators and the representatives who are out there with this incendiary and inflammatory rhetoric, but at the local level, it's the rot, the craziness is even deeper and, in a sense, more worrisome.
Last 24 hours, if you need a contrast, I don't think you could find anything more stunning. If you just follow the news, you have on the one hand Biden at Normandy giving a compelling speech and seeing the faces of those heroes, those 98, 99, 100 year old men from the greatest generation, and you feel that, you feel our greatness. And then you listen to Donald Trump doing an interview yesterday and hearing him talk about what's wrong with this country and the hate and the venom and the self, obsession and the vengeance and the revenge. And then you hear locals, as we just showed, local Republican lawmakers booing January 6th policemen, turning their back to them. And one party is about darkness and just grievance and negativity and self-loathing. And the other party is and will be throughout this campaign about positivity.
You bring up your opponent, Donald Trump. He has said of your executive action, he's pretending to finally do something about the border, but it's all about show. He says we have a debate coming up. Biden's executive order is weak and pathetic.
Is he describing himself? Weak and pathetic? Come on. Look, everybody knows what's happened. We had a deal that was much broader than this, much better, much more accepted across the board. And he got on the phone and told the Republicans, don't support it. It will hurt me. It will help Biden.
You did address Donald Trump and the guilty verdict on 34 felony counts before the American people. You told Americans to respect the jury and the outcome of this case. You were at a campaign fundraiser, and you told the room a convicted felon is now seeking the office of the presidency. You called it disturbing. What do you think the American people should make of this? How important do you think this conviction should be in this race for president?
That's for the public to decide. But one thing for certain is stop undermining the rule of law. Stop undermining the institutions. That's what this whole effort is. All the MAGA Republicans are coming out saying this was a fix. This was a jury that this was a judge that set up to get Trump. There's no evidence of any of that. None. He's trying to undermine it. Look, he got a fair trial. The jury spoke like they speak in all cases, and it should be respected.
And by the way, right after the announcement of this, more campaign funds were given to this campaign than any campaign they think in history. Almost $400 million. 400! No, it's never been, nobody's ever seen, because they know it was rigged. They know it's a corrupt system. They know all about it, but with your help, less than 5 months from now, and we're going, and I'll tell you what, we have to change the system. We have to straighten out what's going on in these sports. We got a rigged deal going, this whole country.
Well, MSNBC is right that the contrast is striking. Of course, they think that everything about that man is pure evil. And yet, like the fake president said there, the public is speaking. They're speaking. $400 million. You've got 50 Cent, the rapper, who's saying every black guy he knows is voting Trump. Dr. Phil last night in his exclusive interview with Donald Trump, he said there's people I know that, this focus group we worked with, they said, I don't like Trump. I didn't vote for him last time, but I'm definitely voting for him this time around. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Can you believe it's the last show of the work week? We're here. Friday is upon us, And we've got lots and lots to get to on today's show, including feedback from Atlanta, another performance last night for Celtic Throne. And then also we've got this Friday's installment of World Watch. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or just go over to our Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily, and you can join the live chat at Rumble. Also, make sure that you give us the thumbs up to up our rating at Rumble. Hopefully we have another promotion over the weekend to bump up the views on one of our programs, perhaps this one, the one you're hearing right now. So you look at the lawfare. We've been talking about this throughout the week. Yesterday it was announced, I guess a judge said Steve Bannon's got to show up for his prison sentence. Another four-month sentence, just like with Peter Navarro. Yet another in a long line of Trump supporters going off to jail. Even as these talking heads talk about Donald Trump possibly sending someone to jail. They're guilty of what they're accusing Donald Trump of. Trump's been out of office for 3.5 years. This is from Politico. It says, Steve Bannon ordered to prison while he challenges his conviction for defying the January 6th committee. So what he did, he defied a congressional subpoena, that left-wing, all-Democrat committee, that hoax of a committee. He denied that subpoena, just like Hunter Biden did, just like Eric Holder, he did it. They can get away with it, you see. They can get it. And so to come into office and to say, you know what, I'm going to go after Hunter Biden on the exact same charges that they went after Navarro and Bannon. I mean, it's one system of justice for all, right? Justice is blind, isn't it? Never mind what the regime is panicking over on a daily basis now. It's every day. We could put a montage together every day of them freaking out. Their heads exploding over what Donald Trump's DOJ might do to some of them. Federal judge ordered Steve Bannon, a longtime ally of former President Donald Trump, to report to prison by July 1st for his conviction for defying a subpoena from the Jan 6 committee. Bannon intends to continue appealing the case to the full bench of the D.C. Circuit and Supreme Court, but unless one of those courts steps in to block Nichols' decision, Bannon is unlikely to be able to stave off prison in the meantime. See, the sentence, 4 months, it'll pretty much be done before they can even get around to the appeals level. And so the process, I mean, that's part of the punishment here. Just put him through this process. And wouldn't you know, July 1st through November 1st, that takes him all the way through to the election, pretty much. And here is a very popular conservative commentator. He's got his podcast every day, every evening, on Saturday. I mean, this guy, he's got quite a lot of energy for broadcasting. And he's just relentless with his reporting. And they're putting him behind bars. So I guess that's maybe the end of his show, at least for 4 months. And this really is the regime unhinged. That's what's happening here. Look at what they're getting away with. Look at what Eric Holder did it. Yeah, that's right. Did he ever go to jail? Of course not. He's part of the regime. You can defy a subpoena. You can laugh out loud at the subpoena if you're Hunter Biden. You can make a big joke out of it. Show up and then leave. It says here, this is Politico as well, if Bannon indeed heads to prison on July 1st, it would put him behind bars until just before the November election. In addition to keeping Bannon, who hosts a popular far-right podcast, off the air for a crucial stretch of the election cycle, Nichols' decision would also effectively pardon proof Bannon's jail sentence. These people, as I say, they're unhinged. They were hoping, of course, that Donald Trump's popularity would plummet. They certainly weren't hoping that he'd pull in $400 million in donations a lot of them small donations. But they're fine, even if his popularity rises, they're fine to carry on with the lawfare. Just try to put them in prison. Try to forcibly keep them from, in the case of Bannon, campaigning for President Trump on his show, or in the case of Trump, to try to keep him from being president, because he's in prison. His sentence is coming up when? July 11th. So you've got Bannon going off to prison on July 1st. You've got President Trump being sentenced for nothing on July 11th. Listen again to MSNBC as they talk about sending Trump and his supporters to prison. And they love it. Clip 10.
Steve Bannon is going to prison. And it's been a long time coming. Today, the former advisor to Donald Trump, who wears two button-down shirts on top of each other for no discernible reason, was ordered to report to prison for 4 months starting on July 1st for his conviction on federal contempt of Congress charges nearly 2 years ago. Bannon, you might remember, was subpoenaed by the January 6th Select Committee back in 2021. And like fellow Trump advisor Peter Navarro and several members of Congress, including Jim Jordan and Scott Perry, he just flatly refused to comply.
Just like Eric Holder, just like Hunter Biden, flatly refused to comply. And where are the Republicans? Well, I guess they can issue criminal referrals to the DOJ, but that's dead on arrival because it's the Dear Leaders DOJ, as we well know. This is that same, I think it's the same, maybe a different program, but it's also MSNBC, Clip 11.
Just like everyone else in Trump world, Bannon likes to whine about vengeance is coming for the people who put him away. Look at you. The real explanation is much simpler. Donald Trump's a criminal convicted on 34 felony counts who surrounds himself with a bunch of other criminals. Like Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro and his longtime political operative, Roger Stone, who Trump sprung from jail ahead of the 2020 election, and Paul Manafort, Trump's former campaign manager, sentenced to 7.5 years in prison on a fraud conviction, who was also freed by his former boss, and Rick Gates, Trump's deputy campaign manager, who got prison time on charges of conspiracy and lying to the FBI, and George Papadopoulos, the former Trump campaign aide, who did a brief stint in prison for lying to investigators about his contacts with Russia. He also got a Trump pardon. And of course, Michael Cohen, who got sentenced to 3 years in prison for the work he did for Donald Trump, partly for his role in the Stormy Daniels hush money scheme, among other charges. And Alan Weisselberg, the former Trump Organization CFO, who is currently, as I speak to you right now, in a cell in Rikers Island, awaiting a $2 million payment from Trump to keep his mouth shut. So Steve Bannon joins a real rogues gallery of Trump associates going to prison.
Yeah, isn't it great? Weisselberg, Gates, Papadopoulos, Navarro, Bannon, Roger Stone, Manafort. And hopefully, if you listen to this guy, hopefully, Donald Trump. They're all criminals. The DOJ should go after them. And everyone on their side is squeaky clean, including Hunter Biden. He'll wriggle free from the hook probably in the next couple weeks. One more from MSNBC, clip 12.
It feels like we are forever thirsting for accountability, and it so rarely comes. But if we now look at the fact that Navarro is serving a prison term, Steve Bannon has been ordered to report to prison on July 1st, and Donald Trump will be sentenced for 34 felony convictions on July 11th. You know, dare I say, accountability might be trending at this point.
They're full of glee. This is, I mean, the parties this weekend, the radical leftist cocktail parties, they're going to be in full motion starting tonight, probably early, because they got Bannon. That's a big fish. They took out Bannon. He's right there behind Trump. He knows the election was stolen. 4 months behind bars for what? This is from Fox News. You may have heard these Democrats. I mean, these people, like I say, they're unhinged. They're really demonic in their hatred, their reasoning, their rage. They've come forward with this disgrace act trying to take away Donald Trump's Secret Service. They want him to go off to Rikers Island. They want him in there with the gang members, MS-13 and others. They want him to be killed. They want him to be murdered. They don't want him to have protection. Fox News says House Democrats have introduced a bill that would strip Secret Service protection from convicted felons sentenced to prison, a move directly targeting former President Trump. A move directly targeting Trump. Take away the Secret Service so he doesn't have any protection. And then, you know, if whatever happens to him in prison, so be it. So be it. Benny Thompson, Democrat, Mississippi, the former chair of the now disbanded January 6th Congressional Committee, introduced legislation that would automatically nix Secret Service protection for those who have been convicted of a federal or state felony that carries a minimum 1 year prison term. Send him off to prison, make sure he doesn't have any protection, and then hopefully he gets killed. That's what's in their hearts. These are strategies concocted by the Dear Leaders attorneys. They're allowed to concoct all of this nefarious activity, these strategies intended to destroy Trump, and no one holds them to account. These are attorneys that can do what, if you're a Trump attorney, however, that's different. If you dare question January 6th or the November 2020 election, they'll send you off to prison. They've indicted people in Wisconsin, in Nevada, in Arizona, in Georgia. It never ends. The weaponization of the justice system. Listen to Newt Gingrich on with Fox Business yesterday, clip 6.
It's extraordinarily important if we're going to restore the Constitution and we're going to restore the rule of law, then we have to have a President Trump who is prepared to, in fact, insist on justice, not on revenge, not on retribution, but on justice. And I think that the whole process under both Obama and Clinton and then under Biden has shaken the very base of our system. You cannot have a politicized justice system without shattering the entire fabric of the American system.
He's exactly right. It's been shattered. This is all part of the fundamental transformation that Barack Obama promised back in 2008. America's under attack. This book that we plug more than any other piece of literature on this show, it's been in print since 2013. That would be 11 years. 11 years. I mean, it's been expanded and added to over the years. But still, you go back before that, 2013, you look at what Herbert Armstrong was writing back in the 1940s and 50s about the communist infiltration of America. It was prophesied. This is from Wayne Root over at Gateway Pundit. He says, "For over 3 years, I've been screaming from the highest mountains that what we're seeing and experiencing is a communist takeover of the USA. Well, he's right. And he's been screaming from the rooftops for 3 years. I mean, we've been doing it going back to the 1940s, almost a century. 70, 80 years? Tomorrow's news today. Or, as our brochure correctly puts it, he was right. Herbert W. Armstrong was right. Says last week it was President Trump being falsely persecuted and convicted. Today it's Steve Bannon being sent to prison. Who's next to be persecuted by this administration? So Bannon's not going to be the last one. They'll just continue right on. Because in the minds of, you know, those MSNBC anchors, every single individual supporting Donald Trump is a criminal. And they all belong in prison. It says here, I've argued and warned since the day of Biden's election that this would be Obama's third term. All along, Obama has been the real president, giving the orders and coordinating this communist takeover of the USA. He's right. But before Wayne Root, there was Herbert Armstrong. He was right. America under attack is right. Obama started the election rigging in 2012 by using the IRS to go after GOP donors, conservative PACs, and critics of his administration. By 2020, Obama perfected the election rigging by taking advantage of the COVID pandemic. He used changes in election laws, mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting, ballot drop boxes, and no voter ID to steal the election. It says once Obama had control of the government, that gave him control of the DOJ and FBI, giving him free rein to persecute Trump and Trump's allies. The latest victim is Steve Bannon. He won't be the last. He won't be the last. The lawfare continues. This is why, as we had in the Trumpet magazine a year ago, a year and a half, I guess, ready for war. It's going to take some, they'll see it as vengeance or retribution, but it's going to take someone, as Gingrich pointed out, who's willing to come back and uphold one standard of justice for all and fight back where necessary. Says the latest victim is Steve Bannon. He won't be the last. And then Root says, all roads lead to Obama. Let me count the ways Obama's fingerprints are all over this communist takeover. And then he goes into all the different ways that he's taken over. It's a communist takeover. It's an attack on America from within. America under attack. Listen to Jesse Waters from his program last night, clip 13.
Hoax alert. New hoax alert. New hoax alert.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have another hoax. Hot off the press from the Biden campaign. Quote, Donald Trump confirms plans to jail opponents. Biden's now accusing Donald Trump of doing exactly what he did. Naturally, the campaign coordinated the hoax with the media. We woke up this morning to headlines like these. The New York Times, Trump vows to prosecute rivals, put rule of law on the ballot. Trump vows legal revenge against enemies. Trump wants retribution. That's dangerous, unlawful, and un-American. The guy who got a thrill up his leg is now getting a chill.
Donald Trump, who wants to put them before firing squads, basically. He wants to put them all in jail. He's unbelievable the way he talks about his opponents. I'm telling you, Trump could end up rolling the score. I've got the Congress. I've got the Supreme Court. I own it all. I am a dictator.
Firing squads? When did Trump say firing squads? He didn't. Raids, gags, mugshots, leg shackles, the tactics used by the left are, dare I say, dictatorial. They've imprisoned a half a dozen people from Trump's circle just to get to him. Bannon, Navarro, Manafort, Cohen, Papadopoulos, Weiselberg. They tried to put General Flynn in prison, a hero. They wiretapped Trump's campaign. Who really is out for revenge? We know.
We know. And President Trump, to his credit, he keeps saying that the American people, they see what's happening here. I mean, when you start getting, you know, hip-hop singers showing their support for Donald Trump, you know it's bad for the Democrats. And so it's, again, the ends justify the means. They can do, listen to Eric Holder. I don't think this is a recent quote. I think it might have been from last year. But listen to him as he's talking about what might happen with Donald Trump if he returns. He's perfectly describing, though, what they're doing now, just like Jesse brings out there. This is clip 5.
Can you just describe a little bit in terms of the role of and how it would transform if an attorney general, we're not looking at things purely from the facts, purely from the evidentiary burden and how to meet it, but instead taking directives on who to prosecute from the president of the United States?
Sure. If the president told a compliant attorney general, I don't like what this congressman said about me or did about me, did to me over the course of the last 2-3 years, whatever, open an investigation on that person. That attorney general could tell a compliant United States attorney to do just that. talk to a compliant FBI director who could be replaced by the president, to open an investigation, and then to just look through that person's life and look for anything that you possibly can find. Who's to say what you find in any person's life that might run afoul of the law? And even beyond that, the mere fact of an investigation of a person who is a public figure can be reputation ruining, can be politically damaging, not even if you find anything, just the fact that the investigation itself exists. And if you've got the full weight of the Justice Department, the full weight of the presidency, the full weight of the FBI focusing on somebody like that, that can be extremely damaging to not only that person individually, but to our democracy writ large.
Writ large, wow. You know, they know how damaging it is. Just to unleash an investigation, the process is the punishment. In this case, though, they're advancing it even to prison sentences as well. Anything and everything they can do to punish their enemies. They know that you can destroy someone's reputation. They know that you can destroy someone politically. They know you can intimidate people into silence just by threatening an investigation, just by threatening them. It makes you wonder what else they're doing behind the scenes, besides going after, you know, a half dozen or more from Trump's inner circle to put them behind bars. You know, what are they doing to jury members? What are they doing to people behind the scenes? And why are there so many rhinos that lack the courage to stand against this attack, this onslaught? So many of them are compromised themselves. You can see why Trump is out there. He was in Phoenix yesterday at an event saying that we've got to overwhelm the system. We've got to make this victory so overwhelming that they can't possibly steal it. This is Trump from yesterday, clip two.
Let me tell you, if we could have honest elections in this country, I would have stopped campaigning 2 weeks ago. We would have had it made. But we don't have that, so we're watching it very carefully, and I'm working my ass off to make sure we get too big to rig. Too big. We want to be too big to rig. You know, there gets to be a point where they can't rig it, so we have an expression. Charlie and I were just talking. It's called too big to rig.
Too big to rig. Wayne Root, in that piece I read to you, he talked about how that the dear leader took advantage of the scamdemic to send out all those mail-in ballots, to put those drop boxes in all the big cities, particularly the swing states. You had Zuckerbucks in there helping with the ballot harvesting. This is from, speaking of COVID, this is from the Telegraph across the pond. It says, COVID vaccines could be partly to blame for the rise in excess deaths since the pandemic. Researchers from the Netherlands analyzed data from 47 Western countries and discovered there had been more than 3 million excess deaths since 2020, with the trend continuing despite the rollout of vaccines and containment measures. 3 million excess deaths since 2020? And you don't hear a word about it. Remember 2020? Who can forget the daily tracker of how many people were dying with COVID? They had other things too, most of them. Comorbidities. But if you had COVID, if you were shot dead with the gun, the cause was COVID. That's how crazy and upside down the world was just a few years ago. And then the after effects of the vaccine. It says here, with the trend continuing despite the rollout of vaccines and containment measures, they said the unprecedented figures raised serious concerns and called on governments to fully investigate the underlying causes, including possible vaccine harms. Further on, it says the study found that across Europe, the U.S. and Australia, there had been more than 1 million excess deaths in 2020. At the height of the pandemic, but also 1.2 million in 2021 and 800,000 in 2022 after measures were implemented. So about 1 million a year. And according to the Telegraph, according to these researchers, it's connected to the vaccine. You know, the vaccine that you were that in some cases you were fired for not getting? It says here they warned that side effects linked to the COVID vaccine had included ischemic stroke, acute coronary syndrome, and brain hemorrhage, cardiovascular diseases, coagulation, hemorrhages, gastrointestinal events, and blood clotting. That's all. What we do to ourselves. But hey, Big Pharma made billions and billions and billions of dollars. Anthony Fauci, he's a big friend of Big Pharma. German researchers have pointed out that the onset of excess mortality in early 2021 in the country coincided with the rollout of vaccines, which the team said warranted further investigation. Remember when you heard the stories of all the people dying suddenly? Remember that? We played the clips on this show. You weren't supposed to play those clips. You weren't supposed to report on that. And now here they come forward quietly saying, you know, not a few hundred, not a few thousand, millions. And it continues to this day. This is what the dear leader used. Among other things, this is what he used to rig the election. What kind of world are we living in? The whole world is deceived. Revelation 12:9. This is another one from The Telegraph. AstraZeneca admits its COVID vaccine can cause rare side effect in court documents for the first time. So for the first time, they're having to admit it. It's in court. It says here the pharmaceutical giant is being sued in a class action over claims that its vaccine, developed with the University of Oxford, caused death and serious injury in dozens of cases. I mean, they made it at Oxford. These are the most educated, these are the brightest individuals and researchers in the world. It says here AstraZeneca is contesting the claims but has accepted in a legal document submitted to the High Court that its COVID vaccine can, in very rare cases, cause TTS. So they have to admit it, I guess, in this forum. They would never do it publicly. They certainly didn't do it in 2021, 2022. This is from Rasmussen a week or two ago. 4 years after the COVID-19 pandemic gripped the world, many Americans believe they know someone who died from the vaccine that promised to stop the virus. The latest Rasmussen Report's national telephone and online survey finds that 19% of American adults say they know someone personally who died from side effects of the COVID-19 vaccine. 19% of Americans. That's 1 in 5. 1 in 5. As you walk down the street someday, any day, just count off the people. 1 out of every 5 say they know someone who died because of the vaccine. Then you add that all to the excess deaths. 1 million a year. Really sad and tragic to see what human beings do to each other, to see what happens when you're motivated solely by greed, by money, or by power, just a lust for power. Look at how many times Fauci was on TV throughout 2020. He didn't know what he's talking about. He was just making it up as he went, changing the rules along the way, not applying the rules to himself. No, no. If he goes to see the Nationals play in D.C., he doesn't need a mask, but the people next to him do. Okay. The world is full of elites, people just like that. They're all over the place. They think they know more than God. It's the same spirit that you read about there in 2 Thessalonians 2, exalting themselves above God himself. That's exactly what Lucifer did. You can read about that in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. He wanted to put his throne on this earth, even above God's throne in heaven above. That's the spirit of Satan the devil. And that spirit is strong. in the world today. When we come back, we've got a lot to get to. We've got the World Watch segment, we've got some feedback from Atlanta, and we've got a Bible study segment for today as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
The thousands of economic sanctions levied on Russia for its full-scale war on Ukraine have pushed Russia closer to China instead of destroying the Russian economy, Eurointelligence wrote on May 29th. Russia is withstanding international pressure far better than most analysts expected, largely due to its increasingly close relations with China. The report states, sanctions on both Russia and on China have intensified the China-Russia relationship, which is now the strategically most important two-country relationship in the Eurasian continent. Today, everyone can see that Russia and China have formed an ironclad axis. But The Trumpet and its forerunner magazine, The Plain Truth, have been warning for decades that these two would join together to make war in the modern era. This far-sighted forecast was founded on Bible prophecy. To learn more about this key prophesied relationship, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches Russia Allying with China. The Biden administration is pressuring European allies to abandon a plan to condemn Iran's recent nuclear advances, The Wall Street Journal reported on May 27th. Europe plans to condemn Iran at a meeting of the International Atomic Energy Agency Board of Governors in early June. As of May 11th, Iran needs only to enrich about 92.5 pounds of 60% highly enriched uranium to 90% enriched to create an atomic weapon. The amount of 60% enriched uranium Iran currently has could be used to produce three nuclear weapons. America's current administration is betraying long-standing alliances and siding with Iran's terror regime. Bible prophecy indicates that this turn will help motivate European unification and push the state of Israel to look to other allies for help. To understand why the U.S. is making these moves and where a nuclear-armed Iran will lead, read our article, Explained, The New Iran Nuclear Deal. The Chinese Coast Guard will more aggressively police its claimed waters, according to new regulations announced on May 15th. The new rules mean that after June 15th, any foreigner suspected of trespassing into Chinese waters can be interrogated and detained for up to 60 days. China has claimed nearly all of the massive South China Sea, based on ancient maps. But The Hague's Permanent Court of Arbitration ruled in 2016 that China's preposterous claims have no basis under international law and encroach on the lawfully held territory of several other nations, including the Philippines. The U.S. recognizes the danger in Chinese aggression, but it has done little to confront it. This has left countries like the Philippines and Japan to fend for themselves. The Bible prophesies that an Asian alliance known as the Kings of the East will form in the end time as America's influence wanes around the globe. To learn more about this alliance, read Russia and China in Prophecy. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There you have it, the latest installment of World Watch. So much happening in the world today and in a world full of deception, as I touched on there at the end of the last segment. A world where there's no absolutes. where there's no final say or authority. It's really just descending into anarchy, every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. You can see just how much we need God's truth, how much we need God's holy and perfect law. I mean, that is absolute. That's the final say. This is from James 2, verse 9. It says, "But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced or convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." See, you're convicted of breaking God's royal law if you violate just one of these fundamental laws. It's the same standard for all, the law of cause and effect, blessings and cursings. Obedience brings blessings, and disobedience or lawlessness brings along with it cursings. And we're seeing so many of those curses set in our nation. And no one man or political party is going to be able to fix it. Acts 13, notice this, verse 16, it says, "Then Paul stood up and, beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it." So here Paul, he's giving a sermon of sorts, and he's recounting Israel's glorious history, being brought out of captivity, so that they might become a model nation, so that they might set an example for the whole world to see. This is what happens when you obey God. Down in verse 21, it says, "And afterward they desired a king." Again, he's going through this history. "And God gave them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed them, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will." David strove to fulfill all of God's will, to live by that royal law that James spoke of, that Jeremiah wrote about in Psalm 119. Paul in Romans 8 or Romans 7, both of those chapters actually. You can look at that on your own time. But what was it that made David such a law-abiding individual? And David ran into some problems here and there. He made some pretty serious mistakes. But what was it that got him back on track? It was repentance toward God. It was the way that he changed course. He got his life back on track. He got his life back in alignment with the law of God, with the law of liberty, with this royal law. This is from my father's booklet, The Key of David. He says, "Whatever God asked of David, he did everything possible to do." This is why he had such a perfect heart. It says, not 80% of it or 90%, not even 99% of God's will. David strived with all his heart to do 100%. That's quite an attitude. He sang for God. He danced for God. He dressed for God. He served for God. It was all for God. He was just a servant of God, a follower of God. He followed in the steps of Christ. And so must we. If we're to develop a heart like God's, that's the goal, that's the objective here. God really is reproducing himself. He really is reproducing his character, his nature. The same booklet says, "David was an unusually humble individual. He did struggle with many temptations, but he knew how to repent before God. This is the great beauty to David's life and the key to his righteousness. David mastered repentance. David made some serious mistakes in his life, but he did not get caught up in foolish human reasoning to avoid repenting. When God sent a prophet to correct him, David didn't argue. He repented. He didn't reason around it. He just repented. He changed. True repentance is the most noble and royal attitude any human being can learn. David learned this. He had a weakness. He had many weaknesses. We all do. In David's case, he had a weakness for beautiful women, and he succumbed to that temptation and committed an egregious sin that then led to other sins as well. And God extended some time for him to get it right, to get it back on track, and he didn't do it until God sent a prophet to tell him, "You're the man. You're the sinner. You're the problem." And when he finally looked at himself in the mirror, he repented in dust and ashes, so to speak. Just like it says about Job in Job 42. Herbert Armstrong, he wrote this in his autobiography. He said, "The repentance required as a condition to being truly converted by receiving God's Holy Spirit is something far different than most people suppose. It is infinitely more than merely agreeing with certain doctrines. To just hear the truth of God, to hear God's message and to agree with it in your heart, in your mind, I mean, that's not repentance. That's just James also in James 1 talked about being, a doer of God's word. Not just a hearer only. If we're just hearing, even if we agree, then we're deceiving ourselves. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. We've got to put it into practice. We've got to live it. 1 Thessalonians 5 brings that out. It says, "Whoever you are, you have or have had an idol. You have had another God before the true living Almighty God. It might be your own vanity, or your business or profession. Very often it's the opinion of your friends, your family, your group, or social or business contacts." There's so many people, even in the ruling class, that are just people pleasers. It says here, "But whatever it is, that idol must first be crushed, smashed. It must be literally torn out of your mind. Even though it hurts more than having all your teeth pulled out or perhaps a jawbone too, I don't know of any anesthetic that will render it pleasurable. Usually it seems like something more excruciating than the agony of death by the cruelest torture." It's not easy to confess your sins, to admit that you're wrong. It's the hardest thing for a human being to do. So in 2 Samuel 11, it says here, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah," it says, "but David tarried still at Jerusalem." David, he wasn't out front leading the way with this battle. He was tarrying behind in Jerusalem. Maybe he had a little bit too much time on his hands, where he was just wasting away precious, precious moments, and then succumbed to this, whatever it was. I mean, it's a little bit of a different spirit here than the one we see earlier on in the story, where he ran out to confront Goliath. He ran out to battle. He wanted to get on with the fighting for God. In this case, he tarried still at Jerusalem and no doubt was struggling with lust and temptation. It came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. Well, you know what happened. He committed adultery with this woman. She conceived. Then David actually had her husband sent to the heat of the battle where he was killed. David murdered a man as well. This was a low point in his life and one that nearly destroyed him. He writes about this in the Psalms. "Don't take your spirit from me," he pleaded with God. He nearly lost it all. But he got right back on track through repentance. And so can we. It's a wonderful, wonderful history, a wonderful admonition. And I'll try to get into it a little bit more next week. But I wanted to reserve the last few minutes for more exciting and encouraging feedback from the Atlanta show of Celtic Throne. That was just last night. You can get to tickets for Celtic Throne. It's going to be at the Ryman Theater in Nashville on Monday night. And then the week after that, they're heading off to the Great Southwest, Colorado Springs, Phoenix, Southern California, coming to a city near you if you live in the Southwest. Just go to CelticThrone.com. We'll finish off today's show with feedback from the people that saw the show in Atlanta.
It was amazing. Everything from the choreography, such a wide diversity of just dance, different types of dances. I saw figure dances and solo dances, hard shoe, soft shoe. The lighting was phenomenal and the stage direction, it's all just amazing.
Well, we're having a great time. Fionnuala and her friend are Irish step dancers, and so they're enjoying the show as well. They can't believe how fast they go, and they're doing a great job.
We love the show. There's something for everybody.
It's awesome.
The show has been fantastic. The dance and the music, just unbelievable. I've seen a bunch of different Irish shows in my life, and you know, this is definitely top of the list.
This is my second time attending, and because I went to the May 5th performance, and I actually met some of the some of the performance afterwards, which was Mr. Jude Fleury, but that was pretty awesome. And so here I'm with my family here. Yeah, but we're super excited. We're super enjoying it, man.
It was excellent. I mean, very talented, very skilled. You can tell they did a lot of preparation, a lot of hard work's gone into it. Voices are great. Dancing's great. Yeah, loved it.
I loved it. It's amazing. I can't wait to see it again.
We had a blast. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We came here with our Irish step dance class, so they are all very excited to see the dancers.
Oh, it was an incredible show. I thought the kids were fantastic. All the dancing was great. Music's excellent as well.
It's really good. It was amazing. I used to be an Irish dancer, so I really enjoyed it.
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, so much energy and just beautiful. I mean, the dancing and the music was incredible. The singing, everything. Wonderful show.
I think it was amazing.
It was really great. Very impressive.
It was good. I got to see some of my friends. I liked it. It was very very fast and very interesting. Yeah.
High energy. Very good show. Lots of talent.
It was amazing.
It was beautiful.
Fantastic. All the way the dancing, the choreography, the three singers together. You could hear each one of them individually and together. And the sound was just fantastic.
Phenomenal. I really liked how there was a fusion of a lot of different kinds of choreography. There wasn't just Irish dance. There was singing and all kinds of stuff mixed together. I thought it was a really, really well done.
I thought it was very energetic. I think the kids, I brought my grandchildren and the kids loved it.
Absolutely amazing. Just amazing.
We
loved it.
A lot of Celtic. This has been probably the best we've ever seen.
Joe was fabulous. High energy and wow, it was just amazing. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really good. I thought the light, well, I've done theater, so I was trying to be nitpicky, but couldn't find anything.
This is higher quality than Riverdance. It's more energetic than most of the Broadway plays, if not all. I'm a very, very high critic. And you kick higher than the Rockettes, because I've taken Rockette dance classes, and I'm a former choreographer, and I've judged dance competitions. So I know my stuff, and I can tell you that this is the best. I love the family-oriented environment and the patriotism. You guys rock. Knocked it out of the ballpark.
So I had never heard of them until that wonderful little algorithm on Facebook sent it over. So I looked into it, bought tickets, and I have to say it was the family aspect that's really what makes it special. They're talented, they're insanely talented, but the family relationships, you can see the love on the stage, you can see they're looking after each other, they're paying attention to what their siblings are doing, their parents, you know, whatever. It's just, it was amazing. It really was amazing.